getting the supply every now and then. But now, you know, and I started preaching when I was 16, so it's kind of like a real change in my life. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Jonah this morning. Maybe this is a children's message, you know, one of those stories. I can remember Miss Rome teaching me in Sunday school class using flannel graph. Y'all even know what flannel graph is? How many of y'all know what flannel graph is? Yeah. Remember her teaching using flannel graph as a child, you know, in church. And Jonah was one of those stories, you know, you love to hear as a kid. I really titled this message this morning, Multitasking. The great multitasker, get my tongue tied up here. Anyway, is found here. All right. And that's our Lord. He can be doing more than one thing at a time. Henry Blackaby wrote when he did his book in Henry, Experiencing God. One of the statements he said was something like, you need to look for what God is doing and join him. And I want to remind you that God's working. I mean, he's all around us, doing things all the time. But sometimes we're just not open to see what he's doing. And I believe Jonah will show you. If you start looking at Jonah, then you might start thinking about looking around and seeing what God's doing. And then, as Henry Blackaby said, he said, you know, see what God's, when you see what God's doing, join him in it. Let me tell you a couple things before we begin to read here that's happening in the association, because, you know, that's where I'm anchored right now as AM, Associational Missionary. We've been involved for several years helping a church down in Hope, Arkansas, and I just was down there yesterday. It's called Life House Ministries. It's an interracial denomination. They're reaching poor folks, folks that are caught up with drug issues. Matter of fact, I went down yesterday because we've been helping with the building for several years now. And our association sent different groups down there. I went down there, and when I came in, they were doing Celebrate Recovery. And they had a group around the table, and they were meeting yesterday. And that's a group of folks that are coming out of the drug culture and have turned their life over to Jesus, you know, and they're reaching. That's the kind of thing they're involved in. But it's a very demanding ministry, and they've got an old church building. And I told them, you know, this is drug out. We've been helping them for about 7 years, and we're just now getting outside. We've done some work in the inside. And so I said, well, as association, we'll strive to help you finish this in the next 18 months. And that's one of the things we'll be trying to do, is help them so they can focus on that ministry. Because they don't worry about the building. They got a roof on, and they're just trying to minister. But I know, you know, that it'll be hard for them to catch up with the building. It's in such need of repair. And so we're going to be doing that. And then we're going to be helping with a church plant that is going on in Colorado Springs that will launch in September. They're in an area in Colorado Springs where there were 5 evangelical churches to about 100,000 people. Now you wonder why our nation is going the way it is. Because we got many great cities who have very little witness in certain areas. We have, in our county, it's something. We got some churches in our association that are outside the county. I think it's about 14 churches. We have 19 altogether, but about 14 of them in our county, evangelical Baptist churches, along with all the other group of evangelical groups, right? I mean, there's Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Church of God. There's 5 in 100,000. You wonder why our nation is going the way it is. We need to be reaching into our community, and we're involved with a new church plant. They will launch in September. We will be bringing a group up there, or taking a group out of the association in August, and we'll be announcing that date. And if you'd like the help, we'd love to have you go along with us. Let's look at our text this morning. It says, and now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, you'll see something here that Sometimes even preachers aren't right with the Lord, okay? And you're going to see that, and God's working in his life. That's one person you're going to see. And that. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. And, you know, that's always interesting to me. I always think about going away from the Lord, going down. Don't you know, you go down because you think of hell, for one thing. You think of down, and listen to how this reads. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship to go to Tarsus, which is over to Spain. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go then unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Fleeing from God. Fleeing from God's will. Now I remind you that God says, our Lord says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You may think you don't want to do something, but if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. You're going to have to pick up your cross, that's God's will for your life and all that it entails, and follow him. Jonah was having a problem with that. A problem with following his Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind upon the sea, where he was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken up. And the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah went down into inside the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. Now, the second group that God's going to be working with is the mariners. Okay? The sailors on the ship. For the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call unto thy God. Not God, but thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we might perish not. They said, every one of his fellows, come and let us cast lots. We may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots. And lots fell upon Jonah. Now we don't really know what their belief was. They might have had multi-gods there. They all were probably praying to their God. And they were saying, Jonah, pray to your God. So they cast lots, and they fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence cometh thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, said to him, why hast thou done this? Done what? Run from this God. Why have you run from this God that has made the sea and the dry land? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Why would you do such a foolish thing? Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wove and was tempest. Now remember, Jonah is God's man. And he's not doing what he wants to, and God's going to deal with him. Hebrews says that God always, always chastens his children. Always. And if you're out of his will, he will chasten you. He will deal with you because he loves you. And Hebrews says he loves us like a father that loves his children. And a father that loves his children always chastens his children. Disciplines them when they need it. Then he said unto them, And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. And then they were exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto them, what shall we do in order that the sea would be calm? He tells them, you're going to have to throw me into the sea. Now, these weren't particularly bad guys. And listen, a lot of people that you may want to reach may not be bad people, but they don't know the Lord. Some may be real bad and don't know the Lord. You should be concerned for them all. See, you remember John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Or Romans, where it says, "God commanded His Lord towards us, while we yet sinners, Christ died for us." God was concerned about everyone. You and I ought to be concerned about everyone. Not just the folks in our area, okay? Not just about our Jerusalem, our Judea, but also about Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. You remember, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh where God was sending him. Is God moving on your heart to do something and you don't want to go there? You don't want to be a part of it? If you're a child of God, you ought to want to be a part of it. Don't be like a Jonah. Listen, he said unto him, "Take me up and throw me, cast me into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest come upon you." Nevertheless, the Bible says the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea woed and was tempest against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, now notice, there's a change. Obviously, they're going to talk with the Lord at this point. They seem to be God's working in their life also. Still working in Jonah. That not so good preacher, okay? And now they're working in these sailors. Look around you. If your eyes are not open, God may be working in the heart and in the lives of somebody that you work with or you go to school with. But if you're not paying attention, you miss the opportunity to join in that work. Therefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish with this man. For this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a rage right then. Imagine if you were out on the storm. Maybe y'all were out on the lake yesterday. Was it a little windy? Yeah, the waters were up. You can imagine if they just all of a sudden stopped like that. I don't know if you've ever... Friend took me sturgeon fishing at the mouth of the Columbia River, emptying into the Pacific. And we got into some rollers. Go down. The boats would drop out of sight. And then you'd come back up on top. Here you'd be. You'd go back down. I got sick as a dog. He said, I can't think of this little deal over there that we dropped. It pulls a line way down deep. He says, reach over there. Downrigger. He says, check that downrigger for me. I reached over, and man, about that time, my stomach flipped over and my head began to bang. But you can imagine if all of a sudden you were out there and it just stopped and got calm. I think the sailors then said, wow. Because listen what they say, how the response. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Wait a minute, they're already praying to Him. They believe God's the reason for this, but they saw how He calmed everything so quick. Now they're even more afraid. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly because it spoke to them. They knew things were not right in their lives. They had heard Jonah was going to go to Nineveh. God sent him to speak to the Ninevites because of the sin in their life. And now they probably are seeing what's in their life and thinking, hey, we've got an answer to a holy God. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. That is, they sacrificed and they made a pledge commitment to their Lord. And I say to their Lord, because now He has become their Lord. See, Lord means that He's over you. And you recognize that and you submit to Him. They're at that point now. He's their Lord. They recognize that and they submit to Him. That's what you call repentance. It means a U-turn. It means you change direction in your life. And they change direction in their life. Now, but Jonah's still having problems. And that only lets you know that God's a little bigger even some, and then, you know, somebody they'll see get all upset because they see some minister do something and that so disillusions them. Get your eyes off the minister. Get your eyes on God. It's God that saves. It's God who you're serving. Ministers fall just like you do, okay? Stumble just like you do. They're men of flesh just like you are. There's only one perfect one. You do know who He is, right? We call Him Jesus. Only one perfect man. All of us, we're sinners saved by grace. We still sin. Ministers still sin. So just think, God's working in His life. God was able to use Him in spite of the man that He was at this time. All right. I'll lose my place on them. Give me a minute to catch up here. All right. So the men took their vows, and I'm trying to find right where it says that. And it says, now the Lord prepared a great fish, 17th verse, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, a lot of people don't believe this story because they don't know of a fish that could swallow somebody and they could live in it. And they say, oh, you can't do that with a whale. Well, I don't know if you could do it with a whale or not. I had never been inside one, but this is what I'll tell you. That our God is great and mighty, and the Scripture says that He prepared a great fish. It could have been one of a kind. He doesn't even have to be living today. And I'll tell you something else. Our Lord, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, 39 through 41, and then you see Him again in the 11th chapter of Luke, 29 through 30, affirms the book of Jonah, affirms it. It has a prophetic reference to Him coming and dying on the cross and rising from the grave. You go over there and take a look. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to... And then He uses that reference, just like Jonah, you know. As Jonah was buried in the sea and raised 3 days, He'll be buried in the grave and raised 3 days. So if you claim to be a believer and you're going to doubt Jonah, don't doubt Jonah. There's no reason to do that. Just remember who you're talking about. You're talking about the Almighty God. You and I, things are impossible with Him. Nothing's impossible. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish of the belly. And God will get you where you want to talk. If you're a believer, God's just chastening you. He'll get you to a place that you want to deal with Him. He'll bring you there because He is the Almighty God. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou hearest my voice. Now, Hebrews also says, if you know you're living an ungodly life, and He doesn't come and deal with you, God doesn't deal with you, Hebrews says, if God doesn't deal, He says He doesn't deal, He doesn't chasten, that is, those that are not His. Interesting thought. If you know you're living outside of the will of God and God's not chastening you, He's not speaking to your heart about it, He's not dealing with you about it, and you, it's just fine and dandy, then maybe the real problem is You don't know him. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves pass over me. And I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I'll look again towards thy holy temple. He knew after he prayed that God was going to deliver him. He knew after he talked with the Lord. Jonah knows, by the way, God knows, by the way, if there's a change in your heart. He knows if you're serious. I like 139 Psalms, he says, he knows our thoughts afar off. He knows your thoughts. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I'll look again into thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even of the soul, the depths closed me around about, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, right next to death. In the very depths of the sea, then my soul fainted within me, and I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came unto thee in thy holy temple, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I'll sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What a change of heart. Now, buddy, it's not fully changed. And you'll see that as we... But he's ready to go to Nineveh. He's going to do it with a bad attitude. But he's going to do it. You know, even God can use us sometimes when we have a bad attitude. That doesn't mean he's still going to be... He's going to stop chasing you. You're going to see he's going to work with Jonah all the way to the end. But he says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Then the word came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose up and went to Nineveh according to the words of the Lord. Now, whatever the Lord says, he's going to do. That's the way it ought to be with you. That's the way it ought to be with all of us. God says it, I'm going to do it. God, because see, him being Lord means that we're following. We're followers of him. And whatever he says, we do. Now Jonah needed to go to Nineveh, but I can tell you the Lord was already there working in the hearts of those folks. Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of about 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he'd cry and say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to proclaim and publish throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast or herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yet let them turn every one from his vile ways. Turn. That's repentance. And it means turn. It's going to use the word repentance down here on the Lord. It doesn't have to mean they turn from sin. It means they had a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of will. They changed directions. Spiritually, they're changing directions. They were going away from God. Now they're going to go towards God. They turned away from He said, I'll back up. And let them turn everyone from the evil way, from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his furious anger that we may not perish? There's a couple points I want to bring here. One is just something a little more relevant to now. Think of Nineveh. Think of our community of 100,000 with only 5 churches in it. Okay? And then all of a sudden, there's this great move of God. And people are being saved everywhere. You know, often I have people that I'll talk about going on a mission trip, or how about, you know, let's go. And some will say, well, we need to witness to the folks around here. I'm all for that. We do. We need to reach them. But how many of you have ever led 10 to the Lord? How many of you have ever led 35 to the Lord? How many of you ever had the opportunity to lead 100 people to the Lord? Wouldn't that be exciting? I've taken mission trips. And in 1 week, lead more people to the Lord than I may have led in all my ministry. Wouldn't you want to do that? Larry, have you seen that kind of thing? See, some places God's just moving and people are more open. It's great, you know, that's when God moves us to different places. It's not because there's not a need here, but there's places where people's hearts are open and ready. They're like ground that's been plowed and ready for the seed. Their hearts are ready. And so I remind you to be ready yourselves to go wherever God prompts your heart to go. Wherever you see God at work. And realize that you may not be able to imagine what God's wanting to do with you. Well, this was a city. A great city. And it says, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. And he did it not. Wow. Again, the idea of repentance in the sense of change and turning from going away from God and turning to go towards God. For those that are without Christ, it's a turning away from unbelief and turning to believing in the Lord. It's a complete change of will and mind and heart. Looking in the fourth verse, we're still dealing with Jonah. We're still dealing with Jonah. But God has already dealt with the sailors. He's dealt with the great city of Nineveh. But he's still got a preacher that's not right. Listen to it. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before God and merciful, all the anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of evil. Wow. He knew these truths. He believed those truths. That's the reason he went and fled, because Nineveh was the enemies of his people. Could God ask us to go to our enemies? Oh yeah. And you know what we're supposed to do? What? What? Go. We're supposed to go. He sent him down there to Nineveh. They were his own people's enemies. They were known, the people attacked Nineveh. Like, they cut the heads off. Kind of sounds like somebody we heard, huh? ISIS? Cut their heads off and piled them up outside the city. Just remind people, leave them alone. They were a pretty brutal people. But that day, God made a change in their life using a pastor, a preacher that is, who was not right with God. But God's still dealing with this preacher. Third verse, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better me to die than to live. He was bitter, and he was wanting to die. There's about three people. Noah was one of them, Elijah was the other, who had pleads like that to the Lord, about asking God, just kill me. After he'd seen that great miracle, he's saying, God, just kill me. I don't like what's happening. Boy, he's so out of tune with God's will. Are you in tune with God's will and what he wants? Then said the Lord, doeth thou well to be angry, Jonah? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There made him a booth, kind of like a brush arbor, okay? This is kind of what, when he says a booth, it's kind of like a brush arbor. And sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He was ready for them to just, you know, he's going to hang around and watch them turn and go against God and get back caught up in their sin. And he was hoping God would come down and destroy them, and he wanted to see it happen. Doesn't sound like he's loving his enemy, does it? The Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to grow up over Jonah, that it might shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. And grief for the heat? Or grief that he was grieving over the fact that Jonah, that all these people in Nineveh had been saved? He says, for God prepared a worm in the morning, rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass when the sun had arisen that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God's working on him. All right? It's a miracle in itself that gourd would come up in a day, by the way, and just cover him. And it came up and was giving him relief from the heat and the sun, and then God sends a cutworm, cuts it down. There's a little bit of humor there, I think. I get tickled when I read that story. Cuts it down. Then, my gourd's gone! Man, when we get out of sorts with the will of God, we can come, really, as believers, pretty nasty people. Very self-consumed. Worried about things that aren't worth worrying about because we're so far out of the will of God. My gourd's gone. Oh, this is terrible. I wish I could die. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Then said the Lord, thus thou hast pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made to grow, which came up at night and perished in the night. Wow. Really? Really, Jonah? You're worried about a gourd? What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? Are you concerned about the things of the Lord? Or are you worried about the gourds in your life? Things of no value. Here's what the Lord was worried about. Should I not spare Nineveh, this great city, when are more than 60,000 persons? That cannot discern between the right hand and their left, and also much cattle? Wow. Jonah, shouldn't I? And I think when he said that, I think he was saying like, Jonah, shouldn't you? I mean, you're supposed to be my prophet. You're supposed to be concerned about the things I'm concerned about. My will is supposed to be your will. Where are you Is God's will your will? Is God's desire your desires? Think what it said in Philippians when it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Where are you? Let's all stand. Well,